Good morning. It is 10:01 a.m. We are here today, October 9th, 2024, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPAPA 24-002, Morco Equipment LLC versus the Port Authority of Guam. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jerick Hernandez and Joy Esperanza. Will Appellate Morco please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. This is Joshua Walsh here, the appellant Morco Equipment. Morning has an institutional representative who's joining us on the Zoom. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency PAG please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. This is Jessica Toft appearing for the Port Authority of Guam, and there's no one else set to appear today for the port.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Good morning, Council. There's only one motion on this morning. Though Ms. Toff seems to have broken it off and to try to argue for a 12B motion, but I think we'll just to stick with a motion to dismiss. And we'll have you argue it, Ms. Toft.
You may thank present. You, Your Honor. I was just following the administrative rules, which say that the rules of civil procedure kind of generally apply to these hearings if you decide to apply them. So I was just kind of trying to apply those standards, you know.
Okay, let's just go back to the motion to dismiss.
Yes, so the motion to dismiss is based on several bases, but it all kind of boils down to a few things. First, the appellant did not protest on time, Your Honor. And the case law from DFS 2020 Guam 20, which is been in effect for 4 years now, is very clear that you need to raise your protest at the earliest time. You need to do it when the facts become available. And in this case, Your Honor, everything, the record shows that these facts were open and public and known to Morico, who was present at the bid opening on May 8th. I just don't see how they argue that. They were there. There was a bid abstract that was bid opening abstract. It's in the record 4A. It shows that bid security is not checked. Special reminder to prospective bidders, not checked. Valid copy of contractor license, not checked. These things were open, clear. There's a sound recording of this. They knew of all these things, Your Honor. And you know, I think the excuse is that, well, we just wanted to wait and see if you would reject. Well, if you have reason to think that another bidder's bid should be rejected, you need to make that protest at the time that we can still reject. Because we could have rejected it then. If they don't want to stop the procurement process, there's a process for that too. They can make an informal complaint. They can say, hey, it looks like FCC's bid is missing these things. We think their bid should be rejected. And we can give them an answer and say, no, we're going to accept it. Or maybe we don't answer. Maybe we don't give them any answer. And then they can file a protest. That's the time. If they want rejection of the bid prior to award, then they need to ask for it on time. They didn't. They waited until after we awarded. And I think that's the exact practice that the Supreme Court of Guam is trying to put a stop to. They specifically said it, Your Honor. And I think that case speaks for itself. The other thing, and this is really what the motion comes down to, is none of the facts in this record are disputed. There's no dispute of facts. I think Your Honor can decide this case on the record, like for a motion to dismiss. As it stands, really, there's no facts in the record that I can see that are at all disputed. And when you look at it, there's really no violations of law. They don't allege any violations of law. They don't allege any real violations. There's no material violations. And I think I've laid it out pretty succinctly in the motion and then in the reply. There really are no violations. They say, oh, this contractor is missing a license. What license? They haven't said. They don't even make a citation to some required license. There is no re licensing requirement. The IFB does not contain a licensing requirement. The law doesn't contain any licensing requirement that they've cited. Are they saying that this particular contractor is required to have a Guam business license? If so, where's the citation to that? Where's the citation to the law? They did not include one. Where's the citation to the law that requires this particular contractor to have a Guam business license? They don't make any citations. And it's really hard. This is really what it boils down to. It is really hard to defend against allegations where this contractor is not even giving us the legal citations to defend against. If they had cited to a Guam business licensing law, I could come back and say, well, Guam's business licensing law doesn't require this contractor to have a Guam business license. I could do that. I could defend against it. But they don't make any citations. And so I just think, and that is the key problem with every single allegation. And finally, Your Honor, and I hope you ask me any questions you have about any of the laws I've cited, but in the end, none of this really matters. Guam law required us to award to FCC. Guam law gives us the authorization and it states that we are allowed to purchase from the federal GSA contractors. We are allowed to. And then 5GCA, at the end of it all, 5GCA 5122 states that if the price difference is more than 10%, we shall purchase from the Fed GSA contractor. The price difference in this case is over 20%. We saved the government of Guam $135,000 by purchasing from the federal GSA contractor. That there's it's just I don't even know. I don't even know what to say about that. Like that's more than my salary. By purchasing. And if you and I know you can't see the grant itself, but I can file this if you want. I'll have to redact certain portions, but in this case, Guam's federal portion was approximately 500 501,000, I think. I have it. The federal portion of our grant is 511,290. The local funds that we had to we also had to contribute some local funds is $144,210. By making this purchase pursuant to the statute 5GCA 5122, we saved the government of Guam our entire matching local portion, and that's money that we can use for our other projects. I just don't see how they get around it. And frankly, they didn't address it in their opposition. They didn't address it at all. It's just silence. I'd like you to I'd like to give it over to you to ask me any questions you
Yeah,
have.
no, I really have no questions because when I read it, I thought, well, I'll let Mr. Walsh now reply. Mr. Walsh, I noticed that neither one of you made mention of the most recent Supreme Court decision opinion that on Pacific Data System, where the court reiterated its DFS holding and denied jurist that the lower court even had jurisdiction in the case because of the time constraints. And so with that, I'll have you reply to Miss Wall, Miss Toff's arguments.
First, let me address the PDS decision. The Court of Guam in that new, are you able to see my internet? Hello, let me try this again. And if need be, I'll shut my camera. So court decision in the new PDS is inapplicable. What the Supreme Court in that new PDS decision is saying is court lacked, without a procurement appeal to it, the ability to freeze the contract in that case. While Judge
You're
Marcinkus,
lagging. You may need to turn off the camera. I'm sorry.
Judge, let me try this now. Can you hear me a little bit?
For some reason, you're still lagging.
Me try this one more time and then try calling in. Your Honor, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll try. So the reason that the Supreme Court found that that injunction issued by the Superior Court was improper was because P got a procurement appeal Superior Court level. That was a dismissal from the OPA for of the dismissal without prejudice. PDS didn't appeal the OPA's decision, but sought an injunction anyways. That's what that happened in that case. Here is not making an argument that there was an untimely appeal from the port's decision to the OPA. So at least in terms of the OPA's ability to exercise its jurisdiction over this appeal, there's no doubt about that. The protest came within the appeal to the OPA came within 15 days of the decision of the port. So there certainly is appeal to hear this. Had there is
But
certainly
how do you address the Supreme Court's holding in DFS that says, from the time you knew or should have known of the facts that you're alleging?
Yep, Your Honor. So I think that argument's been dispatched in our briefing by Superior Court Judge Elise McDonald Iriarte. It was also dispatched by Hearing Officer McDonald in other situations where you're looking for what is being protested. In the DFS case, the reason that the DFS protestant was late was because they were picking a fight over that whole iPad issue. Issues during the procurement that they knew about, that they wanted to complain about, but they did not protest. Did not protest, but that was what they were complaining about. The focus in DFS has always been is being protested. And in this case, just like the cases dispatched by Judge McDonald Iriarte in our brief, Judge McDonald on the GA issue, the reason we are timely is because it's a confluence of two issues. One is the submission of a what we think is a non-responsive offer from an offeror. But that does not become a problem until the agency doesn't do its job and picks the non-responsive offerer. The only reason I'm aggrieved is because the port contracting officer there review the bids, that's their requirement, and figure out who was time or who what's up with his bids, it who they're going to make an award to. It's only when the port decides to ignore own requirements of its bid and select the non-responsive offer, does Morocco say, well, now there's a problem. And now we have to protest. So, because to do the opposite, Judge, is inviting chaos. It is inviting the bidders, the competing bidders, to play the role of contracting officer. But our contracting officers are imbued with the authorization to review these bids. So while I understand, yes, Sharon, you have a question?
No, but it just seemed to me, with the bid abstracts stating that these things are missing, with the fact that this was the second time they sent out the IFB, and in the IFB they explicitly stated if there was an FCC or a federal contractor that the, I mean that a contractor that had I can't remember the quote of it that was in the bid of the fact that the if something was on the had been purchased in with a federal contract, that could be used. You should have known that they were going to be doing something like this, and when that FCC made its bid, and it didn't have the license, it didn't have any, it didn't have all the things that were not checked off. Your person should have said something.
What was
and I, with all due respect to Judge Lee McDonald and Hearing Officer McDonald, the Supreme Court has spoken. It's when you knew or should have known of the facts.
But respectfully,
and I personally have problems with the Supreme Court case in DFS. I think I've told you that several
yes,
times. But the thing is that I need to get them to make a clarification of just as you, what are you talking about the fact that they are causing vendors to become contracting officers or by saying something before it's even done. But the way that I read DFS is that when you knew or should have known, we have 14 days within which to say this person is non-responsive, this person is non-responsible, if you knew that from the beginning, or should not be eligible. I mean, it's just,
well,
and they haven't clarified it. And the only reason why I mentioned PDS today is because when I read PDS, yes, I understand it was a jurisdiction issue because of them going over in equity and asking for the injunction. But even denying a superior court the right to enjoin and follow the process, they reiterated their finding in, it's not part of the holding in the case, but they reiterated their holding in DFS and said it's jurisdictional and you have to comply with the time set forth.
So I would say two things to that, Your Honor, and I sincerely appreciate your, you're discussing the DFS case, because I think that it has invited agencies to do exactly what the port's doing here. But what I would offer respectfully, Your Honor, as the distinguishing characteristic between the facts of DFS, either one of the DFS cases, and what goes on since then, is that in DFS we know what the DFS appellant was angered about and where they error. They knew there was a problem with the bid process. Here, Morico has no idea there's a problem until the contract does not do their job, non-responsive offerer.
But the person that was there at the opening saw the bid abstract, heard them say that they were, that all of these things were not there. No one, there was no, and I'm still waiting. I'm inviting the Supreme Court to say something. And on that, I'm going to rule in favor of the port in this one.
Well, you're a few other points then, if we're going to, so I could just make that record and we'll take the whole record up on a few points.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I know that I characterizes this as a motion for summary judgment motion or motions to dismiss generally. We have an objection because, you know, in the CORTEC 20 appeal of CORTEC at the public auditor was clear that we're not doing summary judgment efforts. We're not doing truncated administrative appeals. So I think that's similar to this 12B6 effort or a motion to dismiss generally. I think the proper course here, administrative record, I think that was in the of the GAA case to the administrative record. So I think that, Your Honor, similar to some other matters, you could get merits reserve on the motion to dismiss so that, and then issue your decision then. Because I think we're missing one of the jurisdictional components here, judges. You clearly have jurisdictional, which means we should get to the merits of it. And if part of the hold the court's merits decision that the original, so be it. We procedurally judge to not allow an administrative record to be built. I understand your logic, Your Honor. Respectfully, just disagreeing with that. And then
Yeah,
also,
no,
judge.
I and since they issued the DFS decision 4 years ago, I think I don't want to speak negatively about my former brethren, but I'm just saying I needed them to make a clarification. And in several of the cases, I've done extreme findings of DFS. They have, fortunately, a case before them right now on the SNH, and maybe I will find out from the SNH that I'm wrong in this case, because in SNH I found that they dismissed the I found that we had no jurisdiction over the case because of the fact that they should have known or should have known knew or should have known of the ineligibility of the bidders, because they were the only two that knew what was going on. They knew that they got the C rating, and they didn't do anything about it. So until I get a ruling from the Supreme Court, I don't care what the Superior Court says. I'm waiting for a reading from the Supreme Court on how they're going to do this. Knew or should have known.
Thank you, Your Honor. I mean, I'll just add a few other points to that. I will say, just for the record here, that I do have an appeal in the Superior Court that may move all the way up on this issue of knew or should have known. It's being briefed. It involves GURA, I think it was the agency. So that judge, I'll just put that out there that may help before this makes it all the way up to the Supreme Court. I will say, Judge, too, though, the part of our briefing that only pre-award protest should the OPA. I don't understand how the port has, even though if they unilaterally decide that it was an untimely protest, but that the stay should still be in place until we get final resolution. I think that's pretty clear under Guam Supreme Court precedent. And then, Judge, and just on the issue of the licensing or what's required, I just think it's important to note it's the government, it's the port's bid on page one that says you need a bid guarantee. It's the port's bid on page one that says you need to comply with Guam licensing, including a business license. So, I'm not citing the statutes, I'm citing to the bid that the port made. So for those reasons, Your Honor, we think that a motion to dismiss should not be granted. We should move to the merits, and we should get some testimony from actual people under oath before this matter gets dismissed, either on a jurisdictional ground or a timeliness ground. But I do understand your position, Judge, and you want some more law from the Supreme Court. But our position, Judge, is you could still dismiss this after a hearing on the merits when we actually have some evidence in the box. This is testifying. Thank you, Your Honor.
I think I don't have jurisdiction to hear anything. I just wish, and I've been waiting for the Supreme. When I heard the Supreme Court came out with the PDS case, I ran to it and I read it, hoping that it was going to give me some guidance on, but I still haven't received any. I don't think they've had another Supreme Court case since DFS on the time issue.
I looked to see if there was. I think the closest thing that will happen next will be that GURA matter I talked about, Judge. And then perhaps this one. If you issue a decision that says, if you dismiss the matter, then I have to maybe sort of correct what happened in PDS. protest within the 14 days and then get the injunction against the port in that time period, rather than what happened in the PDS case, which is where the court said, since you didn't have a procurement appeal, we won't give you the injunction. Perhaps in this matter, I could do both. But Your Honor, I still, my suggestion, my respectful suggestion is that we get to the hearing on the merits and develop it there. But I, your prospective judges, there's no jurisdiction. I understand what you're saying. But I think you and I are in agreement that the Supreme Court's wrong. If what the Supreme Court says in DFS is you need a protest within the first 14 days of any inkling of any potential error that you think went wrong. Because from our perspective, Judge, it doesn't matter what a competing bidder thinks. It doesn't matter what Morocco thinks. The error here is the selection of a non-responsive bidder. And we do not know who the selection until the port fails to do its job. Responsive bidder. It's the
No,
same.
and I agree with you on the one issue of the fact that it should be after they're aggrieved, but that's not what they say.
But Judge,
They say
just
knew or should have known. And who am I to counter them?
Well, Your Honor, I think your history shows the decision from here could put the appellate point on the port if you think justice requires that this appeal move forward. However, Judge, I will point this out. What is being set up on this island would be federal world. It would require like DCK, Black, any of, if they see a bid from Joe Rozano to go build the new runways for NAVFAC up at Anderson or to for NAVFAC at the port, Josh's construction company is completely in, unable. It would require Dick to have to protest Josh's, and that's a farce and never be required. Boeing does not need to protest Josh's paper airplane company contract. It just is a waste of time. But what is being set up now is this idea that actor who claiming that a contracting officer of the government of Guam right thing or is unsure needs to bring a preemptive protest, Judge. And that's just, I'll finish my record there, Your Honor. But that's
Okay.
creating a difficult situation for bidders on the island, Judge.
No, I agree. And it's, they keep doubling down on their DFS decision without a clarification. I'm hoping that the SH case that's up there will, unfortunately, they delayed the arguments on it the other day because Vanessa couldn't make the hearing, but I'm waiting for that decision. And unfortunately, Jared knows we've had to write dismissals from here that I thought were ridiculous, saying that this is ludicrous because I, you know, they should have known on the first day that Rosano shouldn't have been allowed to file because his name's Rosano. Wow.
Hey, Your Honor, I will make sure that if I can get an amici schedule to the OPA, you guys could perhaps weigh in when the time comes. But I appreciate the chance to build the record and make the argument, Judge.
Okay. Thank you. Mustafa, do you want to send me a draft of my dismissal?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
All
And
right, thank you.
I thank you for understanding the issues.
All right, we're adjourned.
Thank you. We're off the record at 10:30 a.m.